गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सच्चिदानन्द रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्री कृष्णाय वयं नमः। श्री कृष्णाय वयं नमः। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं परमानन्दमाधवम्। ॐ वाङ् मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविराविर्म एधि वेदस्य माणिस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीहि अनेनाधीतेन अहोरात्रान् संदधामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्माम् अवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्तिः शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं पादरायणं। सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीकृष्ण गोविन्द हरे मुरारे हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेवा जिह्वे पिबस्वामृतमेतदेव गोविन्द दामोदर माधवेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। नारायण सुप्रीम कॉन्शियसनेस भगवान कृष्ण फ्रॉम द वर्स 40 इटसेल्फ स्टार्टेड द टॉपिक ऑफ योग बुद्धि और कर्म योगा और द नॉलेज ऑफ कर्म योगा। एंड इन वर्स नंबर 47 एंड 48 भगवान गेव अस द एक्चुअल डेफिनेशन ऑफ कर्म योगा द वे कर्म योगा इज। ही गेव अस द स्ट्रक्चर ऑफ कर्म योगा। ही एक्सप्लेन द डेफिनेशन ऑफ कर्म योगा देयर एक्सपाउंडेड अपॉन द डेफिनेशन ऑफ कर्म योगा देयर। एंड इन द सब्सिक्वेंट थ्री वर्सेस व्हिच इज वर्स नंबर 49 50 एंड 51 ऑफ व्हिच 49 एंड 50 वी हैव ऑलरेडी टेकन अप इन द लास्ट टू सेशंस। इन द वर्स इन दीज थ्री वर्सेस 49 50 एंड 51 भगवान टेल्स अस अबाउट द फलश्रुति और व्हाट इज गोइंग टू बी द आउटकम रिसीव्ड बाय दिस पर्सन who leads a life under the guidance of the knowledge of karma yoga, who leads a life or who fulfills one's duty with the knowledge of karma yoga, what is the result going to be or what is the outcome this person is going to receive in his life in terms of a totality about this person, that what are the kind of results this person is going to achieve, what are going to be this person's achievement, what is this person going to walk away with it while following this, which is also called Falashruti, also the results which are going to come out of that. Those ones Bhagwan explained in 49, 50 and 51. We took up the meaning of verse number 50 in the last session. I'll take up the literal meaning again, and so that we can connect to the verse number 51, so that we have a clear understanding of what this verse means. It's where Bhagwan said in the verse number 50, Buddhi yukto jahati iha ube sukrita dushkrite tasmat yogaya yujyasva yogaha karmasu kaushalam. Bhagwan said, Arjun, Buddhi yuktaha jahati. This Buddhi Yukta, the person who is equipped with the knowledge of Karma Yoga, the person who has gained the understanding of Karma Yoga. And in the verse 49 where Bhagwan said, no, Buddhau Sharanam Anvicha, the person who has taken refuge in the knowledge of Karma Yoga after gaining the understanding of Karma Yoga. And when I say after gaining the understanding means, whatever doubts this person had regarding those that knowledge has already been clarified. This person has already sought the answers to those questions. So now the understanding which this person has in his buddhi or in his intellect is completely clear of all the doubts. Remember one thing, only when the doubts are cleared, that is when we can follow some knowledge which is there in the mind. If we have the knowledge or we know about something in the mind, in our intellect, right, and we have doubts also, doubt and knowledge cannot exist together. That's why from knowledge we have to move to understanding. Understanding means what? We have to clear all the doubts which come up so that this knowledge is crystal clear available for me to just follow it without, you know, thinking much about it. Just follow it, that because it's so clear, I'm completely doubt free that this is the way for me to go. This is my clear understanding. That's what Bhagwan meant by Buddhi Yukta. And that's one of the reasons why I picked up this verse again, so that I can clarify that and move on. Bhagwan said, Arjun, Buddhi Yuktaha Jahati, crosses over, Iha. And I told you, Iha means Asmin Loke is what Bhagwan Shankaracharya has defined. Asmin Loke means Jivan Neva. While living here itself, this person crosses over. Ube means these two, Sukrita and Dushkrita. If we look at our life, all our actions can be classified into two categories. One is Sukrita, good deeds, whatever actions we did were good in totality, beneficial to me also and beneficial to the surrounding also, and also beneficial for my, you know, vertical growth as well, Sukrita. Dushkrita, evil deeds or mistakes committed by us, maybe erroneously, maybe, you know, knowingly, but Dushkrita means evil deeds done by us, as that falls under the category of Dushkrita. And what are the result of Sukrita and Dushkrita? Bhagwan Shankaracharya translated as Punya Papa. So Sukrita will lead to Punya, will give us merit, and Dushkrita will lead to Pap, which is actually sin. So these are the two. This person, while living here itself, crosses over these two. Means crosses over all the actions done by that person, all the kind of Punya and Papa which this person is going to receive from all this past action also. While living here itself, this person crosses over. And I told you, it is possible only while living. In Sanatan Dharma or in Vedanta, the definition of Mukti is not in such a way that, you know, Mukti will happen only after death. Of course, permanent and Mukti will happen after that. But you have to gain the realization or gain freedom from birth and death while living here itself. And Bhagwan is going to bring it in the next verse, 51. I'll elaborate it then at that point in time. So Bhagwan says, this person crosses over Punya and Papa. That's why, Arjun, I am insisting, I'm making a clarion call to you. Tasmat. That's why, since it is this way, since this is the amazing result which this person is going to receive, since this is the master of all the achievements in life, it is really a lifetime achievement for that person. Tasmat, that's why, Arjun, I would say yogaya yujyasva, go and enjoy yourself. First gain the knowledge of Karma Yoga, clarify all your doubts and start to follow it in your life. That is what is meant by yogaya yujyasva. Go and enjoy yourself to the knowledge of Karma Yoga means all your actions are done under the guidance of Karma Yoga. All actions are done according to the knowledge of Karma Yoga. All actions are done according to how the scriptures define Karma Yoga. How Bhagwan defines Karma Yoga. That is what Bhagwan meant by Tasmat Yogaya Yujaswa. And then Bhagwan in the last quarter of the verse 50 said, Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam. Arjun, this yoga, this Karma Yoga alone is the actual art of perfection in all kinds of action in life. I won't call any other perfection, any other thing as perfection in action at all. This alone is the actual art of perfection in action. And we took up the Bhagwan Shankaracharya's Bhashya, but I'll pick up key things before I move on to the next one. Bhagwan Shankaracharya or Bhagwan Bhashyakar said, Buddhi Yukta, Bhagwan Shankaracharya explained as Samatva Vishaya Buddhya Yukta. See, Bhagwan Shankaracharya is very clear. Stick to the definition what is given by Bhagwan. What did Bhagwan give in the verse number 48? Bhagwan said, Yogastha Kuru Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Dhananjaya Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. That Samatvam Bhagwan Shankaracharya is explaining Buddhi Yukta as. Let's not forget the actual definition given by Bhagwan. Bhagwan said, Arjun, in the verse number 48, Bhagwan said, Yogastha, placing firmly yourself in yoga or in the knowledge of Karma Yoga, placing firmly in the understanding of Karma Yoga means maintaining or establishing yourself in a doubt-free understanding of Karma Yoga. All your doubts have already been clarified. That is when you get placed firmly, when if you have doubts, you'll keep wavering. Oh, I doubt if this is what it is. I doubt if I do, will I really achieve? Those doubts come because they are not being resolved within us. One of the things which I mentioned and as a purpose of creating the WhatsApp group is, my guru have told me very clearly that any doubt which arises in the mind of a seeker needs to be resolved. And those people who have these doubts coming in, they should make an attempt to clarify them, because that is when once your doubts are cleared, that's when your understanding and knowledge will become error free. Your knowledge and understanding will become doubt free. Your knowledge and understanding will become clear for you so that you can follow it immediately. So, I said that when I created the group that, for all the questions which arise out of the episodes of podcast or any general question related to spirituality, you can ask in the group. But for ones which is related to your personal life and personal life situations, don't take up the time of everyone in the group. You need to reach out to me separately. Now, when Bhagwan said here, Buddhi Yuktaha. So with Bhagwan said, Yogastha Kuru Karmani, Arjun, do your action placing firmly yourself in yoga. And then how? What should be your attitude while doing the action, while doing your duty? Said, Sangam Tyaktva Dhananjaya. Arjun, by giving up the association with situations, with things, with objects, with even karma also, giving up all the associations, one should do the action. And then Bhagwan said what? Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva. And if you do action that way, the thing which you also need to focus on to develop, which is also going to come to you, if you have a doubt-free understanding of Karma Yoga and you are able to do actions according to Karma Yoga, what is also going to come to you, and this should also be your focus also, Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva. Your intellect will remain equanimous. Your intellect need to maintain equanimity at the time of result. When the result comes, even if the result is success or the result is a failure, my intellect needs to be equanimous. And Bhagwan said, what? Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. That equanimity of mind is what I will call yoga. Yoga Uchyate means that I will call as yoga, Karma Yoga. And that's exactly what Bhagwan Shankaracharya is bringing in his Bhashya, Buddhi Yuktaha. Reminding of the definition what Bhagwan gave in 48, verse number 48, Samatva Vishaya Buddhya Yukta, that intellect which is equipped with this kind of an attitude, equipped with this kind of a knowledge, after grasping and gaining the understanding of knowledge, has reached this level of equanimity of intellect at the time of success and failure. Bhagwan Shankaracharya says, Buddhi Yukta Jahati, such a person who has carved out such an intellect of equanimity at the time of result, whether it comes positive or negative, or whether it comes success or failure, such person jahati parityajyati, gives up here itself, And Bhagavan says, Paritejati gives up. Iha asmin loke. In this world itself, while living here itself, this person gives up. Ube sukrita duskrite. These two, which is sukrita and duskrita, and Bhagavan Shankaracharya translated as punya and papa. I told you in the last session when I was explaining this verse, how the actions translate down and trickle down into results is, action at the action level it is sukrita or duskrita, good deed or evil deed, every deed, and the result of it is what, in the form of punya and papa, right? Punya and papa gets inherited after the action is done, which is a transitionary thing to say, and that punya and papa translate as a result to us at how sukha and dukkha. Ultimate result of our good deeds is sukha, means happiness. Ultimate result of our duskrita, which translates into pap, which is sin, is what? Dukkha within us. So that's the result which is. So Bhagavan says, Ube sukrita duskrite, punya pape, sattva shuddhi jnana prapti dwarena. Giving up this, what happens? Becomes one of the prime cause for gaining sattva shuddhi, gaining the purity of sattva. Which in turn becomes jnana prapti dwarena. This sattva shuddhi, so it, you know, this translates into giving sattva shuddhi or purity or sattva to our intellect, which becomes the gateway for what? Jnana prapti. Jnana prapti means, remember, when the moment Bhagavan says jnana prapti, the gaining the knowledge or you know, understanding the knowledge of self. Self knowledge is what jnana Bhagavan is meaning here. Jnana prapti dwarena yataha. This becomes the gateway for gaining the self-knowledge, which finally is going to liberate us. Tasmat, that's why, samatva buddhi yogaya yujyasva ghatasva. Arjun, that's why I will say, make an effort to join yourself with this understanding of karma yoga, or join yourself with this knowledge which gives you the equanimity of intellect at the time, at the level of result. Samatva buddhi yogaya. See, Bhagavan Shankaracharya is so beautifully done this. He, rather than saying yoga, you know, yogaya yujyasva, Bhagavan is explaining how samatva buddhi yogaya. So he will not let us forget what Bhagavan meant in terms of definition. Sometimes what happens is, when we move on and, you know, go deeper into the topic, we, you know, sometimes miss out the actual definition which Bhagavan gave. So the beauty of Shankaracharya is that, Bhagavan Shankaracharya is that he's bringing up it again and again so that we don't forget the actual line. Bhagavan says, Tasmat, samatva buddhi yogaya yujyasva ghatasva. Make it happen in your life that you cultivate this samatva buddhi. You join your buddhi or intellect with the equanimity, the art of equanimity at the level of fruit of action or result of action, success or failure. Then Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, Yogo hi karmasu kaushalam. This yoga, this karma yoga, this samatva buddhi yoga, is what is exactly supposed to be understood as the actual art of perfection in action. This alone is the art of perfection in action, meaning what Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, Swadharma kheshu karmasu vartamanasya ya siddhya siddhyo samatva buddhi ishvara arpita chetastaya tat kaushalam kushala bhavaha. Meaning what? Those people who are engaged constantly in the fulfillment of their duty, but with what attitude? With, you know, attitude of devoting all their actions unto Lord, or doing all the actions for the happiness of God. Ishwar arpita chetastaya. In their intellect, it's very clear that, you know, my actions are being done to please God. My actions are being done as a devotion to God. My actions are being done as an offering unto the lotus feet of God. So those people who are doing their duties constantly with this thing in their mind, with that devotion to God and that offering to God, what is generated inside their buddhi, inside their intellect, what result comes in their intellect? Siddhya siddhyo samatva buddhihi. And you know, while doing that with this kind of an attitude, the equanimity of intellect or the power of intellect to remain equanimous in the state of results arises in that person and or generates in that person, is born in that intellect of that person, And that is what is called Tat Kaushalam Kushala Bhava. Bhagavan Shankaracharya says that exactly is what is called the art of perfection. Then Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, Tad hi kaushalam yat bandha swabhavani api karmani samatva buddhya swabhavad nivartante tasmat samatva buddhi yukto bhavatvam. Very important line. Why I also picked up this portion to, you know, before I take up the verse number 2.51. Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, Tad hi kaushalam. This is exactly what is art of perfection. Why? Bhagavan says, Yad bandha swabhavani api karmani. Even though it is the nature of action that all action by nature binds us. All action binds us. And I gave you the example also there. Bandha swabhavani api is the swabhava, is the nature of the action that all of them binds. Even though actions are possessed with this nature of binding, Bhagavan Shankaracharya beautifully says, swabhavat nivartante. You know, with this attitude of karma yoga, why it is called the art of perfection in action, even though it is the nature of action that all action by nature binds us, even though it is swabhavani api, even though it is this way, samatva buddhya, the moment one gets samatva buddhi or one gains the knowledge of karma yoga and follows that diligently in their life, and that slowly, gradually, this is developed, the intellect is developed in such a way to remain equanimous at the time of success and failure. Swabhav, even though it's the nature of the action to bind, swabhavat nivartante, they give up the act, these action for such person, for only such person who's following this, such person, these action, all actions in such a person's life, give up the nature of their, of the binding nature of theirs, is what Bhagavan calling here as kaushalam. That, you know, they give up their own nature. That's why tasmat samatva buddhi yukto bhavatvam. Samatva buddhi yukto bhavatvam. Bhagavan says, Arjun, that is why, see the beauty of karma yoga, that the nature of all actions is to bind us. Even though actions possess that nature of binding, even though actions have the nature of binding in them, but the moment you gain the knowledge of karma yoga and start to follow the knowledge of karma yoga while doing your actions and duty, and you diligently follow that, this action leaves its nature. The action gives up its nature of binding for you. That's why, Arjun, that is one of the biggest reasons why we must make an effort to join ourselves with the karma yoga tasmat and slowly, gradually work towards developing this attitude of samatva buddhi. Samatva buddhi means equanimity of mind, equanimity of intellect, remaining equanimous at the level of success and failure. Why? Success and failure never remains important for such a person whose main purpose of doing the action is happiness of God, whose main purpose of doing the action is actually devotion unto God. Make an effort, keep the goal in mind, doesn't matter, but just remember one thing, you don't get overtly attached to the success and failure. The purpose is, keep looking whether God is happy with your work or not. You have done your work as a devotion to God, rest the result will automatically follow. That should not be your worry at all. Before I move on to the verse number 51, I want to bring up one small thing, because this word keeps coming up and it came up as a question in the group also. There is a lot of confusion in this word called buddhi. The moment I say the word buddhi, you must understand buddhi as intellect. Okay? Don't understand buddhi, don't complicate buddhi with brain. You know, one of the limitations which is there in the, you know, medical world and the science world is what? Their definition is limited to the parts of the body which we see. We, you know, understand the word called brain. Now, I should pick that meaning also, since I'm on that term right now, because this buddhi yukta will come many places and it's going to continue. So, let us understand what buddhi is first. Because you will see what I am mentioning is intellect at all places. I'm not mentioning brain. I never mentioned brain for buddhi at all anywhere. Now, what is the difference between in brain and the intellect we so to say call? In the internal composition of ours at a subtle level. Now remember, body is at a gross level. You remember the BMI chart which I explained. Huh? B, M and I, body, mind and intellect. In the BMI chart of Pooja Gurudev, it's very clear. Body is the gross thing. Then mind and intellect becomes subtle. And then on top of them is vasana, becomes further subtle. And on top of that is Om, which is the subtlest, the creator, God, whichever way you call it. Okay. So when we say this word called brain, I'm translating it now for you to understand. Brain is only a gross equipment or an equipment for the Antakarana Chatushtaya. Antakarana Chatushtaya means the four things which combine to become Antakarana. Antakarana Chatushtaya means mind, intellect, memory and ego. These four combine to become Antakarana. So, brain is basically an external equipment for the Antakarana Chatushtaya, four things, mind, intellect, memory and ego, to function through it, to transact in the external world of objects, or the way Pooja Gurudev explains it, in the Einsteinian world of time, space and object. So brain becomes only an external equipment. Mind and intellect is not limited to brain. That only is like an office address for the mind, intellect, memory and those places and ego. Oh, but actually the moment a person attains death, brain remains here. But the mind, intellect, the Antakarana Chatushtaya along with the 10 senses, Karmendriya and Jnanendriya, along with Pancha Prana, leaves the body and goes and takes birth in the next body and unwinds up there. This is the thing which you need to understand when we say these words. So mind and intellect and memory and ego, even though they function through the brain, but they are not limited to brain. Just remember that in the BMI chart also, remember this point, that why it is mentioned by Pooja Gurudev, be first, then M, then intellect, because that's the sequence we need to understand. Body is the grossest. That's why it is what? Perceiver. We need to remember that. And its field of action is what? Objects. And then comes mind. Mind is subtler than body. You can't see the mind, right? Body can be seen, but you can't see the mind. Brain can be seen. If you scan it also, a brain scan can see, make you see the brain. There are MRI scans and also which can give the composition of things and all. That's why you all know the composition of brain. Medical science knows the composition of brain. But can you see the mind? No, you can't, because it's subtle. That's one thing. Then mind is subtler than the body. And then more important than mind is intellect, because intellect does the thing of thinking. So let me just come back to mind. Mind is what? Feeler. And its field of action is what? Emotions. So E. Okay. Then, and stronger than that should be actually intellect. While we keep it Antakarana Chatushtaya same, I'll explain you one more thing also why I brought it up today. When we say Buddhi Yukta, and I told you that we must make an effort to clarify all our doubts and all. Why I said that, I'll explain you now. The point which happens today in our life normally is, mind is strong and is always constantly engaged with body. Constantly engaged with body, mind always is functioning in the world of objects. Objects mean people also, and people, situation, they all come under objects actually. So mind engaged with body constantly is constantly engaged in the field of objects. That's why that kind of a mind loses its power to grasp subtle subject. Engaged constantly with gross objects, mind also becomes gross. mind becomes gross doesn't mean that in an MRI scan you can see that. That's not what I mean. Mind loses the ability to grasp these subtle subjects because it's constantly engaged in the field of gross objects. That's what I'm wanting to explain. Intellect, for that matter of fact, you need to understand, intellect is what? Thinker. And its field of work is what? Field of action is what? Thoughts. Now the thing which should happen is, mind, instead of constantly being engaged with the body, instead being constantly focused on the body, we should develop a carve out a mind which looks up to intellect to, you know, understand things before or, you know, going into action. So that is the difference between reaction and action. Reaction is what? Mind, you know, something comes to the mind because it's already grossified, doesn't go to the intellect to check, you know, what is there in the memory about such thing. It is in a hurry to react. If I don't react, I do not know what I'm going to lose right now. But never mind. That's how mind functions right now. But actually what it should be there, mind should take the action, take the thing, take the activity to the intellect first, sit down and think, make and come to a reach to a meaningful conclusion before acting. That is the difference between reaction and action. If our reaction, before we react, if something is well thought after, trust me, by thinking itself, we have mitigated lot of the effect, lot of the negative impact of that thing. That's why, you know, what is the science rule says, every action will have an equal and opposite reaction. That is true at the level of mind. Mind will react without knowledge. So we should slowly, gradually grasp and make our intellect stronger, that the intellect rules the mind, not that the mind engaged with body is constantly ruling over all of us. That's what should not happen with us. Bhagavan says, Arjun, and then the thing we need to understand is, that is why Bhagavan is bringing a lot of focus on buddhi yuktaha, buddhi yuktaha, buddhi yuktaha. And which buddhi or which intellect can actually grasp this understanding? Only the intellect which has become subtle enough. Now the problem which happens with us today is that, since mind is constantly engaged with body and the world of gross objects, mind itself has become gross. And intellect, what happens? Intellect only whenever used comes into the play. That's why intellect also becomes gross, or intellect also loses the ability of grasping subtle subjects. That is why whenever you will see, you know, Adhyatma or the self-knowledge or the spiritual sciences are taught to people, many people do come back and say, so difficult it is. It is very difficult. I can't understand what you're saying. And it takes time for us to understand, because slowly, gradually, as a sadhak, as a seeker, we have to train to actually, so we make our intellect subtle. Only a subtle intellect can grasp the subtle subjects. Now, this is the level of, you know, body, mind and intellect. Then just think, Vasana is even subtler than that. And Om, or the God or Supreme Consciousness, is the subtlest. How do you think a gross intellect can grasp the subtlest of all, which is the Supreme Consciousness? That is why, even after being taught also, where Bhagavan said in one of the verses in the second chapter itself, Ascharyavat Paschati Kaschidenam, Ascharyavat Shunoti, you know, and he used those words, that, you know, after listening also, many people are not able to grasp. Why? Because our intellect is not ready, is not capable to grasp these subtle objects. Remember when Bhagavan uses the word Karma Yoga here, Karma Yoga, I told you, is a Paramparya Sadhan, it's not a Sakshat Sadhan. I'll pick up the meaning of both these words as I take the verse number 2.51 and we'll explain it there. So remember, if the intellect becomes subtler, then only it gains the ability to grasp subtle subjects, subtle understanding, subtle knowledge. And the subtler the intellect becomes, it becomes easy for that intellect to grasp the understanding of the self. That's why Karma Yoga also, many people have come up with many questions you know, why is this, how is this this way, how can we understand it that way. Those all comes because we have not done enough work to actually make our intellect sharp enough. Intellect needs to be sharp enough to grasp subtle. I'll give you an example for you to see in the world also. Some people who does this work of thinking now and then, just see, even if a situation is presented in front of them, they are able to interpret it deeply and come up with a defined answer which can solve it. Why? Because they have developed a sharp intellect to grasp the understanding and resolve an issue. A problem solver is what? Who has got a sharper intellect. With intellect, that person can see the 360 degree of a problem to come up with a solution. That's what sharp intellect means. But sharp intellect slowly gradually should become a subtle intellect to grasp the subtle subjects. That's what Bhagwan is meaning by, you know, buddhi yukta at many places. So please understand, and buddhi is not equal to brain. Brain is not what is translated as buddhi here. Brain is only an external equipment, is an office address for the four faculties called Antakarana Chatushtaya, which is mind, intellect, memory and ego to function. Brain and is only a gross thing. In mind, intellect, Antakarana Chatushtaya is subtler than and the brain. Brain is gross, mind, intellect and the Antakarana Chatushtaya is actually subtle. Another thing I've also wanted to, you know, highlight here while I'm saying this right now is that please also understand, subtle always pervades the gross. Remember, subtle always pervades the gross. I use the word what? Brain is the office address. That means in mind, intellect, ego and other things are not only limited to brain. Now just think for 1 minute. The moment you close your eyes and think of, you know, for example, your toe, mind has already reached the toe, right? Can experience the toe. What is the toe feeling? You know, how, what comfort is there? What needs to be adjusted? Mind has already traveled there. The subtle is always more pervasive than gross. And the subtlest, that is why Bhagwan said, no, avinashitu tad vidhi yena sarvam idam tatam. The supreme consciousness pervades everything in this creation. There is nowhere that supreme consciousness has not reached. That is the level of the subtlest nature of supreme consciousness. There is no place where the supreme consciousness is not there. Now let's move into the next verse, which is 2.51. We'll take up the verse and we'll see the meaning. Bhagwan says, karmajam buddhi yuktahi phalam tyaktva manishinah janma bandha vinirmuktah padam gacchantyanamayam. Karmajam buddhi yuktahi phalam tyaktva manishinah janma bandha vinirmuktah padam gacchantyanamayam. I will read Bhagwan Shankaracharya's Bhashya before we take up this particular verse. Bhagwan Shankaracharya says, karmajam phalam tyaktva iti vyavahitena sambandha ishtanishta deha praptihi karmajam phalam karmabhyo jatam buddhi yukta samatva buddhi yukta hi yasmat phalam tyaktva parityajya manishinah jnanino bhutva janma bandha vinirmuktah janma eva bandha janma bandha tena vinirmuktah jivanta eva janma bandha vinirmuktah santah padam paramam vishnoho mokshakhyam gacchanti anamayam sarvopadravarhitam ityarthah athava buddhi yogad dhananjaya iti arabhya paramartha darshana lakshana eva sarvatah samprutodakasthaniya karma yogaja sattva shuddhi janita buddhihi darshita sakshat sukrita duskrita prahanadi hetutva shravanat. Now let's see the literal meaning first before we go into the bhashya given by Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji. Two words we need to pick up here which Bhagwan is highlighting. Buddhi yuktaha, which is continued from the previous verse, okay, and buddhi yukta, Bhagwan said about who? the one who has become Buddhau Sharanam Anvichcha, who's already taken refuge in the knowledge of the Karma Yoga. Knowledge of the Karma Yoga, attitude of Karma Yoga is already adapted in the life. So Bhagwan here says Buddhi Yukta. Now we need to understand the second word also. Bhagwan says Buddhi Yukta hi. Buddhi Yukta means this person who has got equipped with the Karma Yoga, he alone does this. And then Bhagwan uses one more word which is very important for us to highlight here, and Bhagwan is bringing up this word first time in his conversation. Bhagwan says Manishinaha. Now this word is a very beautiful word in Sanskrit. Manishinaha means the one who is Manishi. Manishi means what? The one who is Mananshil. The one who has got this capability of reflecting upon what knowledge has been gained. And I already explained you while explaining the previous verse again today. Reflecting means what? Sit down and do independent thinking. And while thinking, while reflecting upon it, whatever doubts arise in its intellect regarding or pertaining to that knowledge, this person has already gone to his guru and clarified those questions and clarified those doubts, resolved those doubts. That is why this person has reached the state called Manishinaha. So Mananshilavan, the one who has got the ability to do sit down and do independent reflection, is not only studies, listens to something, goes back and comes back to the next session. No, not that. Everything what is heard, this person spends time on that to understand, make that knowledge that person's own. Right now the knowledge is remaining outside. You must have heard, you must have read, but that has not become your knowledge yet. This Manishi means through his reflection, through his independent thinking, through his effort towards clarifying doubt, towards his effort, this person's effort towards making the knowledge gained error-free or doubt-free, this person has become to call what Bhagwan calls this person as Manishinaha. Meaning what? One more meaning of the word Manishina is Jnani iti artha, the one who is knowledgeable. Who are this knowledgeable person? Those people who are Buddhi Yukta, the one who have already enjoined themselves, which Bhagwan said in the verse 50, Tasmat Yogaya Yujasva. Bhagwan is continuing that. Now after that, this person has enjoined and with the knowledge of Karma Yoga, this person has done the independent thinking, reflection, solved all the doubt and become completely equipped with the knowledge of Karma Yoga, which is absolutely doubt-free, absolutely error-free. There are nothing between this person following the Karma Yoga and the knowledge and the doubt and other things are all gone from this person's mind. And you know, so means this person has already gained the knowledge of Karma Yoga, which is completely doubt-free. Now, one more thing I wanted to explain you at the level of for explaining Manishi. When I was explaining you intellect, so you know, one thing I wanted to just say, that brain all of us have. I'm just coming from the gross side first. Brain all of us have. All of us have a mind, intellect, you know, memory and ego also. But the difference between person to person is at the level of how powerful, how effective and how sharp one person's antakarana is. Now the beauty, I'll tell you, you know, if somebody takes the scan of a brain, the size of the brain may be almost similar, maybe few centimeters here and there between people. But what, how come the same brain size, somebody is too intelligent and somebody doesn't have any intelligence at all? Because the level called intelligence, the level of intelligence is not at the level of brain. I'll use one word to say, intelligent people or Manishi are those who have done effective utilization of their brain, of their equipment called brain, who have completely utilized their brain, who have reached the level of, if not 100, I will say Jnani, so definitely 100% utilization of their brain. and if not at, you know, 100%, 80-90% their brain is utilized. Versus us, if you see the comparison, I don't think, you know, if I look at myself itself, I'll say, you know, why should I go out to, you know, compare anyone else? Say what, 30-40, maybe 50%, and is the utilization, and you know where Manishi is lying, you see. So you see where we stand and where they stand. So they have got such a level, they've got such a playing field of level of their intellect has reached such a level, unko aisa dharatal prapt hai, in which they've reached such a level, they've reached such a plane, they've reached such a space where the thinking is automatic for them. Manan unke liye sahaj hai. Sahaj means they are able to reflect, you know, at the fraction of a second. They are able to go into reflection immediately. We may have to make an effort to reach that level, but for them it is instant. Instantly they are able to reach the level of you know, they are able to get into reflection. Such kind of Manishi, which Bhagwan is calling, such kind of Jnani, what they have done, they have established this thing called Karma Yoga in their life. They have established Karma Yoga in their life in such a way that all their endeavors, all their actions which they do in life are for God's happiness alone. They have no other agenda at all. Their mind is, their intellect is very clear about this. All their endeavor, unki sari cheshthai, keval aur keval Bhagavad Preeti ke liye hoti hai, kisi aur sankalp ke liye kabhi nahi hoti. They have no other, you know, intention at all. Their mind, their intellect is so clear that every action they do, every duty they fulfill, every endeavor they go after is only with the clear intention of making God happy. No other intention is there in their mind or intellect at all. In their every endeavor, God always resides behind every endeavor of such a person. We say that, you know, Paramatma, Supreme Consciousness, resides in every endeavor of such a person. Now just tell me, if God resides in every endeavor, every effort of such a person, do you really think this person will ever be able to do Dushkrita? Sukrita is automatically going to happen. So, you know, this is how their endeavor is. Now, I'll give you one example for you to understand it better. You know, I'm translating this person for you to understand. Now, just see, when I say pratyek cheshta, or every endeavor, every effort of this person is towards, you know, making God happy. Just think for a while. This person eats food also for what? So that gains energy to do, effectively do devotion for God. Effectively do bhajan of God. This person eats for that. Now if such a person then eats also for the fact that, you know, I should be able to I should gain energy so much that my devotion should not be stopped. I should be constantly engaged in devotion for God. Just think for a while. How do you think this person will eat, you know, tamasic food and other things, you know, non-veg and other things? How will this person, you know, this person knows very clear, Bhagwan is sitting in our, you know, stomach as what? Vaishwanara Agni. Bhagwan is sitting in everybody's stomach as the fire called Vaishwanara. And if Bhagwan is sitting in the stomach as, you know, Vaishwanara, then how do you think, you know, you can offer bad things for that? So every food, everything which is eaten and by this person is what? Nothing but an ahuti. Actually, it is for all of us, it's an ahuti only. Bhagwan Krishna himself says in the chapter 15, verse number 14, Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritaha Pranapana Samayuktaha Pachami Annam Chaturvidham. When the 15th chapter comes, we'll take it up in detail. In the 14th verse, Bhagwan says, Arjun, Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva, I am Praninam Deham Ashritaha, I am sitting as the digestive fire. are in the stomach of everyone and in this creation. And never said only humans. Pachamya, you know, aham vaishvanaro bhutva. Pranina, pranina we use the word. He never used manushana. Pranina means Bhagwan on himself, the supreme consciousness is sitting as the Vaishvanara Agni or the digestive fire in every being in this creation, in the stomach of every being in this creation. So then this person knows, this person and who is, you know, equipped with the knowledge, this Manishi knows that Bhagwan is sitting there. Then food is what? An ahuti into Bhagwan. And when you give ahuti, ahuti means oblation. When you give oblation in the sacrificial fire, oblation is only given for the vihit vastu, not given for the nishidh vastu. You don't give oblation of a, you know, banned substance. You don't give oblation of an substance which is not allowed. You don't, you give oblation with a sub, with a you know, object which is allowed to be given. Object which is allowed as per the scripture. Object which is allowed to be given. You only give for good things. You don't give oblation of bad things to God, right? You give oblation of good things only. So just think, this person eats. Now just think this person's way of you know, bhojan or eating food also. He, this person eats only that much which keeps this person going. Neither eats too much nor eats too less. Feeds only with things which are allowed, which can create positive mindset in me. Do not consume things which are negative in nature by killing someone and all those things, non-veg food I'm talking about, doesn't offer that to the stomach at all. Eats only those things which are there. Why? Because the purpose is eating only this much so that I'm able to do my bhajan properly. I'm able to do my devotion properly. Eats only that much. I'm offering everything unto who that God. Gets up and does his other things like, you know, bathing and all, so that I'm fresh enough to do my, you know, devotion. I'm fresh so that, you know, I'm fresh enough to do my devotion concentratively unto God, you know, devotion unto my God. I'm able to do bhajan of God or with concentration. That is why I need to be fresh, and that is why I bathe. Now another thing I'll give you, this person sleeps also. Why? So that my mind gets enough rest so that I am able to do my bhajan or my devotion the next day with concentration. So sleep is also for what? For, you know, offering in my day and my efforts unto God. Everything, the focus is for everything is what? God. Such a person Bhagwan is calling Manishika, because he's done a good amount of thinking over everything in his life, in that person's life. Now this is what happens in life. Most of us think that, you know, things come in the life as accident. Actually, in life, there is nothing called accident or nothing called by chance. Everything comes for a reason. Everything has a purpose behind it. It is other thing that we may not have done a thinking over it. But if you really think, you can understand a purpose behind everything in this creation. And, you know, I can bring up many things, but I think don't want to, you know, sway from explaining in, going to a different way to explain that. Details I can take up whenever I meet you all sometime in person and, you know, satsang or anything, we'll take up at that time. Bhagwan says this person's every effort is only for the purpose of, you know, making God happy. Such a person I will call Buddhi Yuktaha. And the example which I can give you for you to see around, from the time of Mahabharat, if you just see from, you know, Srimad Bhagavat, is the example of gopis. The gopis of Vrindavan and Narad Bhakti Sutra, they talk about, you know, what is actually bhakti. In Narad Bhakti Sutra gives the example, yad vraj gopikana, the way, you know, the gopis of the Vrindavan, how, what kind of love they had for God, that is what is actually called devotion. Another example I'll give is Uddhavji. Just think, you know, if you see Srimad Bhagavat, Uddhavji's life is amazing. I must bring out right now here, Manishi, why I'm calling them also, I'll tell you. Let's just pick up gopis first. You know, the gopis of Vrindavan, and how they used to live their life, They used to serve their husband. Not that they never used to serve their husband at all. They used to do their duty well. But they used to finish their duty so that they can go and spend some time in devotion with Bhagwan. They used to fulfill their duty as what? It's assigned by Bhagwan, but we need to complete it well and then go back and spend some time in devotion to Bhagwan. That's what the love of gopis towards Bhagwan was. And Uddhavji, from childhood, Uddhavji's life is so amazing. What should I tell you? Uddhavji's life is in such a way that he used to wear clothes which have been taken off by Bhagwan. He used to eat food in the plate in which Bhagwan has eaten, and whatever is left over, Uddhavji used to eat. What a devotion of Uddhavji. I don't think, you know, we can even comprehend what kind of a devotion Uddhavji had. And you know, Uddhavji's level was so that they say his life was always in devotion to Bhagwan, Bhagwan Krishna. So they say Uddhavji used to look also like Bhagwan Krishna. When Bhagwan Krishna sent Uddhavji to Vrindavan, say that, you know, go and meet gopis and tell them I remember them and give my message to them. And you know, many people mistook Uddhavji as Bhagwan Krishna only. But gopis never. They know their Bhagwan so well. Even though Uddhavji looks exactly like Bhagwan Krishna, Uddhavji was also a little surprised that gopis recognized him immediately. And you will see in our Chardham of Uttarakhand, which is Badrinath, Kedarnath, Yamunotri and Gangotri. In Badrinath, the Chala Vigraha or Utsav Murti is of Uddhavji. You see what level, which level Uddhavji was. And you will see in Srimad Bhagavat, Bhagwan, when he decided to, you know, wind up his Leela from the earth, not, you know, leave from the earth in that way, you know, wind up his Leela from the earth and disappear in the physical form and remain as the all-pervading Supreme Consciousness, Bhagwan gave self-knowledge to Uddhav personally. Bhagwan gave Bhagavad Gita to Arjun in the middle of the war field. You see the love for Bhagwan, love of Bhagwan for Arjun. But Bhagwan for Uddhav never left him, gave self-knowledge personally to Uddhav and told Uddhav, now after I leave, I disappear, you know, my physical form from the earth, you should go and spend time in Badrinath. And Uddhavji lived the remaining of his life in Badrinath, it is said. And so just see, Bhagwan, and you know, that self-knowledge which Bhagwan gave it to Uddhavji is what the entire Ekadash Skand of Srimad Bhagavat is. It's also called Mukti Skand. Ekadash Skand means 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavat is called Mukti Skand because Bhagwan gave the teaching of how to realize the self to Uddhavji, and that's what the teaching is there in the 11th canto. So Uddhavji is another example. That's from the Purana. If you go to our Itihas, Ramayana, what to say? By God's grace, after 500 years, I think we must have celebrated at Ram Navami in Ayodhya temple, in Ram Lala's temple, in Ram Lala's place of birth. It's all God's grace and the efforts of people who have done to get reached to that level. But just see, Ramayana example I'll pick up. I'll give you three examples from Ramayana. Lakshmanji, what kind of a life Lakshmanji has lived. What a devotion of Lakshmanji. Lived 14 years. He was not supposed to go to the forest, but decided that for me devotion is prime. I have got nothing to do in the Ayodhya without you. My purpose of life is to serve you, and I will follow where you go. It is immaterial whether I live in a, you know, I'm able to live in the forest also or not. I may have to walk difficult paths there. I may have to sleep or not sleep also sometimes protecting you. But I'm very clear, I will definitely follow you. This palace has got nothing to do with me at all. My purpose of life is very clear to serve you. And just see, in Ramayana it is said, Lakshmanji never slept for 14 years. Just think, that was the level of you know, service of a service and devotion of Lakshmanji towards Bhagwan Ram. Another example is Bharatji. Now, you know, I don't know what kind of a thing they have shown to us, that what is the kind of love and devotion for each other in the family. what kind of love, what love and devotion does, that I am, brother himself is telling that go and rule the kingdom, but no, he will not remain, he will not stay in the palace. He said, I am ruling it only because you are telling me, you are ordering me to do it, you are instructing me to do it, but I will live the life as you are living. I will also live outside in the forest. I'll go to the palace, manage the work of the whole kingdom, but I'll come back and stay here. And remember, I told you this example also, when Bhagwan Rama, you know, completed his exile, his vanvas, when he went back to Ayodhya, it's not that Ayodhya was in shambles. Ayodhya was better than how it was when Bhagwan Ram left from there. Bharatji did a beautiful job of serving in Ayodhya. Ayodhya was more wealthier, more samriddh. It was much more wealthier than and what it was. It was much better managed than before. Bhagwan Ram's coronation never happened by the time he left. But I'm saying Bharatji did not do that. You know what use it is. Is, you know, how does it matter? It's only for him. He didn't do a shabby job. He did a fantastic job of maintaining Ayodhya. See the devotion of Bharatji. Another example I'll give is Hanumanji. How can we forget Hanumanji? The moment Ramji's thought comes, Hanumanji's thought also comes together with that. That's the level of devotion of Hanumanji towards Bhagwan Ram. What kind of a devotion Hanumanji had? Everything is, you know, and what is the, what that it is mentioned in the Hanuman Chalisa also, Ram Kaj Karibe Ko Atur, always eager to do that work which is a service to Bhagwan, always eager to do something which becomes a service to God. Ram Kaj Karibe Ko Atur went all the way, jumped to Lanka to search Sita ji for whom? For Bhagwan Ram. Fought with Ravana for whom? For Bhagwan Ram. The moment things used to fall, any statement used to fall from Bhagwan Ram's mouth, Hanumanji is always present there to fulfill it. That's the level of devotion we are talking about. That's what Manishi is about. Another way we need to look at it is that when we use this word, Buddhi Yukta and Manishina, the way Bhagwan has used this word, we need to understand, and these words are interchangeably used. But the first meaning you need to get is, ये बुद्धि युक्ताः ते मनीषिणः भविष्यन्ति, बिकॉज दे आर बोथ प्लूरल. बुद्धि युक्ताः इज ऑल्सो प्लूरल एंड मनीषिणः इज ऑल्सो प्लूरल. सो ये बुद्धि युक्ताः ते मनीषिणः भविष्यन्ति. एंड अदर वे वी कैन यूज इज दैट ये मनीषिणः ते बुद्धि युक्ताः. वी कैन से दैट वे ऑल्सो. ओके, नाउ इफ यू अंडरस्टूड दिस मच, लेट्स मूव फॉरवर्ड इन दिस वर्स. Bhagwan Krishna says, Supreme Consciousness Bhagwan Krishna says, Buddhi Yukta hi Karmajam Phalam Tyaktva. Buddhi Yukta Manishinah hi Karmajam Phalam Tyaktva. They alone are able to give up. Karmajam means, when we see, we use the word jam, ajam there, it means born out of. That which is born out of. They are able to do what? The Buddhi Yuktaha, Manishinaha, are able to give up the fruit. Phalam Tyaktva, they are able to give up the fruit or result of action. Which action and which fruit, sorry, which fruit they are able to give up? Karmajam. They are able to give up all the fruits of action born out of their own karma while living here itself. It's a further explanation to what Bhagwan said in the previous verse. Buddhi Yuktaha ubhe sukrute duskrute jahati iha. Bhagwan is, you know, furthering that explanation here. Bhagwan is explaining deeper down into the meaning of that. Bhagwan says, Arjun Buddhi Yuktaha ye Buddhi Yuktate Manishinaha or Buddhi Yuktaha karmajam phalam tyaktva Manishinaha. Karmajam phalam tyaktva, that they are able to give up all the results of action done by them till now. In short, we can understand it this way. Bhagwan says, whatever actions they have, whatever fruits or results of actions they have accumulated till now, they are able to give up all of them here itself. All of them here. Who are able to give up? Buddhi Yuktaha Manishina. Those people who are Buddhi Yukta, who Bhagwan is coining a new word called Manishina. Moving forward, Bhagwan says, I'll come back to explain this particular verse. Says, it's not that they are only able to give up the fruit or result of action born out of their karma. They are also able to free themselves from Janma Bandha Vinirmuktaha. What a beautiful word Bhagwan used. They are not only, you know, able to give up the results or fruit of all the actions done by them in their life, they are also able to give up the bondage of life or bondage of birth, and they are able to free themselves from the bondage of birth forever. Remember, this word is Vinirmuktaha, Visheshena Nirmuktaha. Nirmuktaha means they are able to free themselves, else forever. And Visheshena means never ever will there be a point in time when they will have to be born again. Now this Janma Bandha Vinirmuktaha, we need to understand a little bit more detail. As we go along, I'll explain it to you, you know what it means. Let's explain the literal meaning first of the entire verse, and then we'll go back to that. Bhagwan says, they are able to free themselves from the bondage of birth and death, right, or the bondage of life, while remaining here itself. And then what do they achieve after that? Padam gacchanti. They go and reach a level, they reach a position, they reach a state. What state? Bhagwan is coining that state as anamayam. So we need to understand this word as te matlab buddhi yuktaha anamayam padam gacchanti. Te buddhi yuktaha karmajam phalam tyaktva janma bandha vinirmuktaha anamayam padam gacchanti. They give up the fruit of action here at the level of punya and papa. Sukruta and Dushkruta has explained there. All that what is lying in their sanchit karma is given up here itself. I have explained the word sanchit, prarabdha and agami. I'm not picking up here in detail. I've explained that in the, you know, one of the previous podcasts itself. Sanchit karma, okay, let me just pick up so that, you know, we understand it clearly. Sanchit karma is a accumulated total of all the result of our actions done in the past lives and some from this life which cannot give me result in this life, they also go back into sanchit karma. Okay, and then comes prarabdha. Prarabdha means all those results which were in the sanchit karma which have already fructified or have started to fructify, started to give me result in this particular life, or they are going to fructify in this life itself, they become a thing called prarabdha, prakarshena arabdha. They have started to give fruit, or they are about to give me fruit in this life itself. Then comes agami. Agami means whatever actions I am going to do in the remaining part of my life and the remaining lives to come, they come under agami. So this is the difference between sanchita, prarabdha and agami. Bhagwan says, whatever karma is lying in their sanchit karma, whatever are yet to give result to this person, phalam tyaktva, this person is able to give up all those sanchit karma while living here itself. So that means this person will not need another life going forward because the sanchit karma is gone. And that is why Bhagwan said, Janma Bandha Vinirmuktaha. This person is free, that person, him, free, you know, himself or herself of the bondage of birth, earth, and going to reach a level, Anamayam Padam Gacchanti, going to reach a level which is Anamayam. Anamayam, actually, you would have heard this prayer called Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Amaya means disease. Ahamaya means Upadra. Upadra means, you know, disturbances, is, you know, problems. That's how you can define amaya as. literal meaning is you know disease. So this person is going to reach a level which is disease free, which is free from disturbances, which is free from all kinds of problems. Anamayam padam gacchanti. While living here itself, this person is able to make pave way to reach that pal, reach that state which is free from all kind of disturbances, free from all kind of problems, free from all kind of disease, is so to say. This person reaches that level is what is Bhagwan literally meaning by the word padam anamayam padam gacchanti. Now one more thing I'll use, since I use the word amay here, so that means what? Karma yoga is the antibiotic or antidote or for the disease called birth. Why I'm saying that? Okay, let me take the example of common people. What happens today normally at our level? People are born to die and they die to die again. You understand what I mean? People are born to die, they die to be born again and to be dead again. That is what normally people are doing. Whereas this person, while living here itself, has freed himself or herself from this bondage called life, from this bondage of birth. Otherwise, just think, this cycle keeps repeating, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. How long will you continue this cycle? That's why Bhagwan said, anamayam padam gacchanti. This person is going to reach a level or a point, or this person is going to reach a state or a point of no return, is what is Bhagwan meaning by this particular verse. So if, you know, birth is a disease, or, you know, life is, you know, full of ups and downs. I said one message also in the group of Pooja Gurudev. You know, life never moves in straight line. Straight line in medical term also means death. Life always moves up and down, up and down, up and down. That's the nature of life. You can't think that life will move in a straight line. It's not going to happen. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, this disease, this person is going to reach a state which is disease free or disturbance free or problem free, and the antibiotic to cure this particular disease is Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga Ram Baan hai, is Janma Rupi or you know Jeevan Rupi Rog ka. That's how we need to understand. So now we'll go into the Bhashya of Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji and see a little bit more detailed meaning. But before that, I want to just pick up one portion from this itself. What do you really mean by, you know, phalam tyaktva? Phalam tyaktva means what? And in common parlance, we see that we as human being also wants to do phalam tyaktva. We want to give up bad results which come to us. Don't we want that? We all want to give up bad results which come to us. We want to keep only the good results with us. So, you know, phalam tyaktva to we also want to do. But is that possible? We normally see that that's not a possible thing at all. We can't give up the fruit of action. We don't have the freedom to give up the fruit of action. And I've explained that when Bhagwan said, Karmani eva adhikaraste ma phalishu. Bhagwan himself said, you know, you can and you have the freedom of only at the level of action. You don't have the freedom at the level of fruit. Bhagwan said that, right? We always is in our life also want to do phalam tyaktva. We also want to learn the art of phalam tyaktva. But commonly we see that phalam tyaktva is usually not possible. If this freedom would have been there with us, then every one of us would have given up the bad results or bad fruits which come to us and kept only the good ones. Those ones only which keeps us happy we would have kept. We would have given up all the ones which are bad. But that's not possible. It doesn't seem to be possible. Now, that's why Bhagwan used the word Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam. Why Bhagwan used the word Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam in the previous verse? That which seems impossible technically impossible at the normal worldly level, karma yoga is able to get you that impossible result also. That is why yoga karmasu kaushalam, yoga alone is the actual art of perfection in action. It is able to give you the impossible result, that result which seems impossible in common parlance, that result which seems impossible in normal life, that also we are able to give up. And that is why yoga karmasu kaushalam is Bhagwan, is what Bhagwan said to us in the previous verse. Those people who have given up, that's why Bhagwan said, you know, coined the term called manishina. One thing more I want to say before I want to go to the word called phalam tyaktva in further detail. Commonly it is seen in the world, and it is a truth of life, you all must know that our act, the result of our action, will come and search for us and reaches us wherever we are, whichever life we are, whichever birth we have, whichever planet we may be, whichever cosmos we may be in. Karma jo hai wo karta ko dhoond hi leta hai. Our action, or the result of our action and result of all of our action, and actually comes and searches for the doer automatically and reaches that doer come what may, wherever that doer may be. So that's the nature of karma. That's why, you know, I said that in one of my podcasts also, after doing action, and people think that, you know, they can, after doing wrong action, I'm talking about, or after doing wrong action, people can think that they were going to hiding, they can escape punishment and all. You may go into hiding in for a certain period of time in this creation, but somewhere I've seen such cases which are coming in the newspaper also now. After 15 years, one offender or one criminal was caught. 15 years that person has been in hiding. Those things are there. That's at the level of world itself, it's like that. Because Satyameva Jayate, Upanishad itself says, you know, truth alone will prevail. Truth alone will win. Anyway, so Bhagwan says that, and you know, then, but if even if somebody escapes, if you know, during one's lifetime also, oh, you know, by chance, some person escapes the evil deed, even after the person is dead, where will you escape? That the karam, your action will search for you and come to you automatically, irrespective of where you are. That's the nature of karma. And I told you, many people, they, when they come and ask us, they say, you know, let Bhagwan punish us, you know, as much as Bhagwan wants to punish us. I'm sorry, Bhagwan never punishes you. Bhagwan never punishes you at all. All punishment is never given by Bhagwan. Punishment is given by our own action, is given by our own karma. Punishment is always given by our own karma. It's never given by a Bhagwan at all. Our action punishes, not Bhagwan. That's what we need to understand. We need to understand this giving up of fruit of action clearly, so that, you know, we understand the correct meaning of what he means. Bhagwan does not mean that, Bhagwan is not talking about here about giving up the fruit of action at the time when you are receiving the fruit of action. Fruit of action cannot be given up at the time of receiving the action. Just giving an example for you to understand, just think, you know, it will be seem sound to be impractical if we say that a person works for the whole month, and you know, at the time, at the end of the month or the beginning of the next month, when the salary is due, and when the salary for his working in is supposed to be given to him, at that time, if you say, hey, I have just read Gita, I am a new student of Gita, and I was told that give up the fruit of action, so I don't want the salary. No, Bhagwan is not talking about that. Another example I'll give you here is, for example, if you see, there is a farmer who works the whole month, whole period of time, to, you know, sow the crop, or, you know, cultivate it and all those things. At the time of harvest, they say that, you know, I'm a new student of Gita, and according to Gita ji, they say that, you know, give up the fruit, so I will do tyaktva. I will give up the, you know, harvest, let the crop remain there. No, that's not what it is mean. What it means, it doesn't mean to give up the fruit at the time of receiving the fruit of action. You know, Pooja Swamiji, Swami Subodhanaji used to say it jokingly that, you know, if farmer says that, you know, I will give up the fruit, that means the family will have to remain hungry throughout the period because their hunger is satisfied by the, you know, harvest which happens for the crop. So apparently, then, you know, at a point in time, family will only say that we will also do your tyaktva. We will only give you up. If you can't take care of us, what is the need of it? Right? No, that's not what Bhagwan means here in terms of, you know, phalam tyaktva. Fruit of action or the result of action will come. And, you know, how the fruit and result of action comes, Panchadashi Kar says it very beautifully, that there are no fruit of action also comes in very different levels. In Panchadashi, the author of Panchadashi says this very beautifully, that there are certain fruits of our action which do not have enough power to create situation around us. Unke paas paristhiti nirman ki bal nahi hai. Wo nirbal hai paristhiti nirman ke liye. They cannot create a situation around us. Those fruits which do not have enough power to create a situation around us, they manifest inside our intellect, inside our antakarna as sukha and dukkha. They come as udasinta. Udasinta means indifference towards people, khinnata. I am very averse to people. Those kind of things, it just manifests like that. Because it does not have enough power to manifest the situation outside us. That's how the fruit of action does. Even when the result is so powerful to create a situation, we don't consume the whole situation, right? What we get from the situation is in the form of sukha and dukkha, sorrow and happiness. What do you mean by bhog here? A result of an action searches for the doer automatically. As long as one has the doership, enjoyership is a must. We can't escape. All the actions which are done with the doership in mind have to be consumed by us or have to be borne by us as an enjoyer also. If we give up the doership, then only the enjoyership can be given. And you know, as I just mentioned, when we say enjoyership or consumption of a situation or, you know, deriving happiness from them, like for example, when visited a garden full of roses, garden full of roses means what? I didn't consume the rose. I just saw them because I liked them. I enjoyed it, right? Somebody visited Himalaya. Somebody loves mountains. Loving mountain and going and enjoying mountain doesn't mean consuming the mountain, right? It won't be there otherwise. So consumption means what? Bhoga means what? Enjoyership means what? Even if the result is manifested as a situation outside us, we derive happiness and sorrow depending upon if that situation is you know, of our liking or of our disliking. And the same way, as I told you, certain results of action are not powerful enough to manifest a situation outside, so they arise in our mind as udasinta and khinnata and other things in totality. So, you know, if I look at the enjoyership level, everybody wants to give up all those situations which gives us pain. Everyone wants to give us all those situations which gives us sorrow. But none of us are actually able to do that. At the end of the day, whatever comes to us, we have to receive it. We cannot give up at the level of action. Then how does a buddhi yuktaha phalam tyaktva, how does this actually happen? The one who is equipped with the intellect of karma yoga, yoga buddhi yuktaha, how is he able to give up the action? How is he able to give up the result of the action? He is able to give up the result of the action at the time of action itself or before the action is done. So this is a sadhana of karma kal. It is not a sadhana of phal kal. Means it is a sadhana, it is an effort which has to be done before the action is done or while the action is being done. It cannot be done at the time of receiving the fruit. At the time of receiving the fruit, we are not free to receive the fruit the way we want it. Fruit will come according to how the action is done. When this person who is equipped with the intellect of karma yoga does the action with keeping in mind the happiness of God, or at that time when he does with the keeping in mind that God should be happy with my effort, But at that time, phalam tyaktva has automatically happened. You know, because his eye, rather than being on the fruit or result of action, his eye is on the love for God. His eye is on the happiness of God. So his drishti, his eyesight on the actual fruit of action is not there. His focus is not on the fruit at all. Since the focus is not on the fruit, whatever it comes, it doesn't matter. If one is able to give up the fruit of action at the time of action, then only this is possible. Otherwise, Bhagavan will himself say in Bhagavad Gita, avashyameva bhaktavyam kritam karma shubhashubham. Bhagavan will say in Bhagavad Gita himself, otherwise for all the result which comes in our life, we have to bear them. And avashyameva bhaktavyam kritam karma shubhashubham. Whether it is shubh or ashubh, shubh means good deeds, ashubh, which is what Bhagavan has said, sukrita and dushkrita. Good and bad, whether whatever it comes, whether result comes in the form of a good result or bad result, we have to face it. You know, for us to understand this, we have to understand three points very clearly. The first thing is that, who is the one who gives up the fruit of action? The second thing is, how do they give up the fruit of action? The third thing is, when do they give up the fruit of action? So remember three questions. Who gives up the fruit of action? When do they give the, how do they give up the fruit of action and result of action? And when do they give up the result of action? You know, in the worldly parlance, I will give you one comparison for you to understand it in a better way. In worldly parlance, what is exactly what people call as art of action, that with minimum effort, you are able to derive maximum result? Isn't that what everybody's endeavor is? So in the worldly parlance, they say that what is there so good in giving up? Giving up cannot be an art of action. Art of action is receiving more than what you deserve for. Receiving more than what you put effort for. You know, or gaining more than what you actually put effort into. So that's what is a fruit, that is what an art of action in the worldly parlance is. But Bhagavan Krishna says, oh my dear, no. You know, the real art of action is actually in giving up. Giving up is the real art of action. Acquiring more is not the art of action at all. You can acquire, you can run after them, but how much and how long? Only a manishi, a buddhi yuktaha is able to understand this, that actually the intelligence or the actual wisdom is in giving up and not acquiring. Why? Because nobody in this world can ever say that after acquiring so and so, I became fully contented and fully fulfilled. The wisdom is actually in what? Giving up, so that I don't have to come back to birth and death again. If only a person who has developed an intellect to think over these lines can actually grasp this, that a manishi, a buddhi yuktaha, leaving the fruit holds on to Bhagavan. Or other way, holding on to Bhagavan leaves the fruit. Either ways you can say it, because that this person knows very well, if my attention is actually on the fruit of action, I will become what Bhagavan said that we should not become, I will become karma phala hetuhu. Right? If my focus is on the result, I will become karma phala hetuhu. But if my focus is on Bhagavan, I'll become buddhi yuktaha. This is the independent thinking which Bhagavan is also asking us to develop. And he's again and again repeating, yoga yajasva. Go and enjoy yourself with yoga. Equip your mind with this yoga. That is what I'll exactly call as real art of action. And the real fruit of phalam tyaktva is what? Janma bandha vinirmuktaha. To be very honest and frank with you, life is a big bondage. As far as life is there, we will have to bear the fruit of or result of our actions which we have done in the past. Just think, if I'm able to develop a culture where I don't have to be born again, that's where Bhagwan says, after giving up the life here, such a manishi, padam gacchanti anamayam, anamayam padam gacchanti. He goes and attains the level, he goes and attains a position, he goes and attains a state which is actually filled with karma yoga. Which is actually filled with karma yoga. That is what this manishi he gains. That is what this manishi he, you know, attains in life. Now padam shabda has got two meanings here. Padyate asmin, in from, you know, where a person, padyate asmin means what, where a person reaches after walking. And the another meaning of the word padam is padyate anena, by which one reaches. Means, you know, that's why our legs are also called padam. Vak pani padam, we use the word. But by which one reaches, that is also padam. Where one reaches after walking is also padam. And you know, that's why our sadhana is also called padam. What we do while we are a seeker is also padam. And where we reach after doing our sadhana is also padam. And where does he reach? I told you, who anamayam padam gacchanti. This person reaches a place where Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji says, sarva upadrava rahitam, which is free from all kinds of disturbances, which is free from all kind of problems. That is the kind of padam which this person reaches. The one who is based on, you know, who is focused on the result of action, that person is able to, that for that what Bhagavan said there, durena hi avaram, that person, what that person achieves is far lower than what this person is achieving. And that person, where that person reaches, or what that person achieves who does the action, good actions, without the attitude of karma yoga, is what, punarapi jananam punarapi maranam punarapi janani jathare shayanam. The person is born again and again, again and again, again and again, and there is no end to a birth for that person unless and until this person is able to reach this particular level. The seeker who is equipped with this particular mind is able to reach there, where, you know, what Bhagwan is mentioning us, this called the pinnacle of achievement, called anamayam padam gacchanti. In this verse, I also wanted to bring up what Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji said in his Bhashya. Let's pick up the Bhashya before we go further into this one. Bhagwan says, karmajam phalam tyaktva iti vyavahitena sambandha. These two words, karmajam and phalam tyaktva, have got inherent connection with each other. They are completely related to each other. And then Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji in explanation says, ishtanishta deha praptihi karmajam phalam. What is the fruit or result of our action and given to us? What is the result of our action which is born out of our action itself? Ishta anishta deha praptihi. There I can say it in two ways. One is ishta. Ishta means the results which I like. Anishta means those results which I don't like. Deha means body. So I can say this way also. Receiving what I like, receiving what I don't like, and this receiving this body or gaining this body, all these three are what? Karmajam phalam. Another way I will also say is, you know, I can use this word to explain you this way also. You know, our body or our birth is also a result of our own action. What body we get, which birth we take going forward, also depends on our own actions. What do you mean by that? And you know, that's the one way to see is ishta deha prapti hi anishta deha prapti. You know, some people want that I should be born like this, I should be born into this, I should be born to that. I've said it very clearly in my podcast earlier itself, that what life we are born into, whether we are able to retain the human life or whether we fall down into plants, animals and birds, that completely depends on our action. That is what is also meant by this. Ishta anishta deha prapti. I may want to be born as a human, or I may be born as a devta, but that depends on my own action, right? So ishta deha prapti hi anishta deha prapti, or or you know, I may be born as animal or plant or anything, that also depends on my own action. So both ways we can look at it, ishta anishta, receiving in good results or the results which I like, receiving results which I don't like, and you know, attaining a body. All these three are actually results of our own action. And receiving a body, favorable body, or receiving an unfavorable body, or receiving a body of my liking, or receiving a body which I don't like, is also part of our, as a result of our action. Karma pyo jatam, they are all born out of our own karmas. Buddhi yukta ha, samatva buddhi yukta hi. Buddhi yukta means the one who is equipped, who is already capable, whose intellect is capable with what? With the understanding which has been gained from karma yoga, and he is maintained or gained an intellect which is samatva. Samatva means the one which possesses an equanimity of intellect. His intellect is equanimous in terms of situations. Yasmat param tyaktva, giving up this fruit of action, and parityajya, tyaktva means parityajya, giving up. Manishinaha, see what manishi is, has been translated by Bhagavan Shankaracharya. Jnanino bhutva, manishina means the one who's become jnani. Jnani means who's one who has become equipped with the knowledge of karma yoga, who's a realized master, so to say. Janma bandha vinirmukta. Janma eva bandha. This is the line I want to highlight. Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji says, janma eva bandha. Birth itself is a bondage. Janma bandha tena vinirmukta. And this person who's gained the knowledge of karma yoga, this jnani, this manishi, janma bandha tena vinirmuktaha, gives up this life, becomes free from this life forever. Jivanta eva, while living here itself, this person is able to be free, to free himself or herself from this bondage of life, bondage of birth and death. That's why it's called a jivan, janma bandha vinirmuktaha santaha. And santa means while living here itself, this person is able to who gain this position and become free from birth and death. That is what is meant by janma bandha vinirmukta. Then Bhagavan says, padam paramam vishnoho mokshakyam gacchanti. What is the, how Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji is explained padam here? Bhagavan says padam means this person attains the highest state, at which is mentioned as vishnoho padam. Attains the lotus feet of Bhagavan Vishnu, which is also termed as mokshakyam, explained as moksha. This person reaches that state, anamayam. Anamayam means sarvopadrava rahitam iti artha, means free from all kind of disturbances. Now this padam paramam Vishnuho mokshakyam, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji has picked up from Kathopanishad directly. What does Kathopanishad say about Vishnuho padam? Kathopanishad says, is in the Pratham Adhyaya, Tritiya Valli, in the ninth mantra, Kathopanishad says, Vijnana Sarathir Yastu Manav Pragrahavan Naraha Sodhvanav Paramapnoti Tad Vishnoho Paramam Padam. That is what Bhagavan Shankaracharya has picked up as a point here. In the Kathopanishad mantra, it says, Vijnana Sarathir Yastu, the one who is equipped with the knowledge. There, the knowledge means actually Sankhya Yoga. The knowledge of self is what Bhagavan is talking about in the mantra over there. So, one who is equipped with that. So, Dvanav Paramapnoti Tad Vishnoho Paramam Padam. That is what is Bhagavan Shankaracharya is picking up here also. There is some more part of it which I'll take it up in a little more detail. But Bhagavan Shankaracharya is taking one. Another meaning of the word Buddhi Yoga Dhananjaya iti Arabhya. Bhagavan Shankaracharya is taking up another meaning of the word Buddhi Yukta to explain, very beautifully explained. We will see it in the next session. Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Prakrite Svabhavat Karomi Yadyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami Sriman Narayanayeti Samarpayami. ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते. ॐ शान्ति शान्तिः शान्तिः. हरि ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः. हरि ॐ तत्सत्.